This is Jared Forte.
And this is Karen Bell.
Karen is my partner on a new podcast that I want to introduce you to if you happen to be listening in other places that you typically hear me. You're going to be meeting someone who I've been working with for the last couple of months, and I want to introduce you to the podcast that we've been creating together, and maybe you want to check it out. And if you're listening on the Wellness Connection podcast, this is episode one. Welcome to this experience. Karen is the founder of Hell Wellness and the person who started this movement called the Wellness Connection. Today's episode is going to be an opportunity for you to learn the origin story, sort of where this came from. Yeah, so where did you go to school?
I went to Florida International University.
Where is that?
That's in Miami, Florida.
Uh-oh. So you got a young, wide-eyed, I don't know, how would you describe yourself going into college? Like, how far away from home were you?
Oh, I grew up here in Baltimore, Maryland.
Was that your first time going away from home?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so did you want to turn up?
No, actually, no. I was always a serious person, so no, I was
even
focused.
So you didn't have that rebellious thing where, well, you know, like, what was your, do you think you're just serious by demeanor, or do you, like, how, when you were young, was there something that somebody kind of drilled that into you? How do you come to be, like, you know?
So serious.
Yeah, so serious. Why so serious?
I'm glad you asked me that, Gerard, because I'm not necessarily
so
serious.
So just in case y'all were wondering who she's talking about when she said that, she's talking about me, Jared. But
I always call him Gerard,
right?
Because
and I let her
Luther. Don't you hear his voice?
I let her say Gerard. That's fine. I ain't got time to keep correcting people who know me. I just let them call me. I know who you're talking about. But in case the listeners are confused, there isn't another person in here. It's just us two.
Just two, right? Yeah. Yes, that's my name for him. No, I wasn't serious in demeanor because I was always kind of silly. However, when it came to focusing on task or a project or trying to figure something out, I was serious.
Okay. But still, though, I'm thinking, like, you go to school, you getting away from home for the first time. You can focus on the schoolwork, but you in Miami from Baltimore. You go to Miami and it's like, how was that?
Well, it was a culture shock in the sense that you had multi cultures there. So you had people from all over, Caribbeans, from Africa, from China, from Japan, a strong Caribbean base.
It is called Florida International. Mm, huh?
Right, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Key word there. So what attracted you to that school in particular? Were you looking, like... choice. What did you just throw a dart against the wall?
No. I was going to go to Towson State University.
Now known as Towson.
Yes, and
it
at
used
that
to
time,
be Towson yep. State. Now it's Towson.
That's right. And the process of applying there, I met a young man, and so. So I'm calling myself following that person.
Oh, so here's a key tip. This is not a relationship podcast per se, but I want to throw that in there. You followed some dude.
Right.
Okay, down to Florida.
Who became my husband eventually.
Oh, okay. So I guess did it work out? I guess it worked out. Right. You followed somebody and then you married him.
Yeah.
I guess okay. All right, I guess.
There are multiple ways to look at that one, but.
this is probably another story.
Right.
Okay, so you follow some dude down in Florida.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that was his lure of attraction.
Come on down to Miami.
Yeah, they got the best OT program.
But you know what?
Therapy program down there.
Well, here's the thing. And I don't mean to. So was he from here?
No, he wasn't from here. He was from Michigan.
Okay. So this is interesting because, like, this is pre-online. So how do you, I don't mean to, like.
That's all right. I was.
Do you meet somebody from Michigan before the internet?
Now, let me tell you, this is funny because my grandmother lived in Florida. She okay. lived in Florida, and I went one summer to go visit her, and that's how I met him.
And he was visiting there?
No, he was living there.
Oh, he lived
yes,
there.
Yes, he was originally from Michigan.
But he had moved down there. So you went to see your grandma and this mm-hmm. real slick gentleman.
Yes.
360 waves. Suited and booted.
Yes.
Did he have that, had he been in Florida long enough to have, to sound like he was from there? Or did he sound like?
No, he actually still sounded like he was from Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What part of Michigan? It wasn't one of the Detroit dudes, was it?
No, Kellogg's.
Okay. Them Detroit players, man.
No.
Because if he was from Detroit, like, my picture of him in my mind, mm-hmm. like, he wore silk shirts.
He was very clean.
Did he wear silk shirts?
Yeah. I'm trying
Detroit
to think
Detroit
dudes
back. Wear silks and gaiters.
And that might have been his style back then. I'm not sure.
So you follow some dude down to Miami. So this was Miami, your grandmother?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
In Miami. So you were, how often did you go to visit your grandmother down there? Was that
not that often. Not until I got, about in the 11th, 12th grade, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, because no, we didn't go visit that much. She used to come up to visit us more. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So my picture is, okay, you go down to Florida. You go down to Florida, and it's a lot of, I don't know, Miami, I guess it was probably still like that. It was a lot of sights and attractions down there. You dig? There's a lot yes. of beautiful people in Miami.
Yes.
So I could see why, if you have a connection with someone, you feel like you need to be down there.
Right.
Because there's plenty of, like, other, like, situations around that could derail your budding relationship.
Yes.
If you ain't there face to face,
down.
You got to hold it down. Yeah, you got to be sand at the beach.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to be sand at the beach because you, yeah, it's like, so I don't know if he even had to really sell you on it. It was like, once you realize that you were trying to be with him, you realize that you probably need to be somewhere nearby.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did because, grew up in a very strict home, and my mom had her pulse on everything. So, I was telling her about my thoughts. She was like, no way.
You ain't chasing that boy down there.
That's right. You get your degree, blah, blah, blah. Right. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so he had to come with a nice little presentation in order.
he had to do the PowerPoint for the family, or he had to give you some facts.
Yes.
About how good that program was down there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great experience. So many great people. So did he go to school there? Or he was just living there.
Yeah, he went to school there.
Okay,
and
so
working
he went
there.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He was plugged in.
Yes, he was plugged.
but how did? So going to college, a lot of times, people go into college, like they break off relationships to go into college because they know they want to be a part of the social situation.
Mm-hmm.
You went in there already attached, and that creates a lot of pressure. Like when you move somewhere for mm-hmm. somebody, it puts a lot of pressure on a relationship because it runs that risk of resentment and like, oh, you've raised the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go chase somebody or you follow somebody somewhere, you've raised the stakes. And now everything can be colored by that sacrifice that you made. Oh, but I came all the way down here and you gonna act like that. Or even if you don't say it, in your mind you're like, boy, I came all the way down here to be with you and then you gonna act crazy like this or you gonna do that. Like, it can creep into a relationship. That's an aside. Anyway, you decide to go to Florida International of all places.
Yes.
From Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Because
very green, never traveled,
right? Right,
stayed away from my family, my mom or my dad or my sisters.
Okay,
so yeah, but I did had infrastructure there, so I had family there,
right?
Had
your grandmother
cousin,
was there. Okay.
So my cousin was you know, she was cool. So she was an IT person. She was cool and very supportive during that process because, you know, and she was a lot younger than my grandmother. So mm-hmm. with that, I had
Well, I hope your cousin is younger than your grandmother.
Yeah, but you know.
Typically, that's typically. How it works.
Sometimes not.
I don't know. Now, grandmother, I think by definition, mm-hmm. if it's a cousin in the same family, mm-hmm. they have to be younger than the grandmother. Mm-hmm. They might be older than one of your aunts mm-hmm. or your mom. You can have a cousin that's older than your mom. That's doable. But not necessarily one that's older than your grandmother, just by definition mm-hmm. of what a cousin is. Mm-hmm. Because a cousin is, you have a mutual grandparent. Mm-hmm. So in order for you to have a mutual grandparent, the grandparent would have had to have been born first. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So how old was your cousin that was there?
She was in her early 30s.
Okay, so mm-hmm. it wasn't like somebody you could hang out with.
Mm-mm,
it
no.
It was just somebody who you could talk to.
Yeah, someone I could talk to.
And somebody who can... in your business, I guess.
Yes, I hung, yeah, because I made her part of my business sometimes, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and so I can work through some challenges that maybe right. came across.
With the old boy.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
All right. Okay, so you're in college. So your social life, I guess, is colored by the fact that you're in a relationship.
Yes.
But you still have to deal with, okay, I'm in college, what am I doing? So mm-hmm. what was that like for you?
Yeah,
in
so.
Your first years?
Yeah, my very first year was all discovery, you know, just to hone into really what my call was to do. And so
you mean you went to school to try to find your calling?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm not one of those people that at three know they want to be a doctor
oh,
or
nice.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
yes. Yeah. And it wasn't until I actually all I knew going into college, I'm going to go to college. That's all I knew. Mm-hmm. And I was going to complete it. Now, what it was going to be at the end of that journey, wasn't quite sure. That was discovery in my college journey. Okay. So, sort of looking at what I could potentially be interested in, it first started out with accounting. Okay.
Riveting. Okay.
And accounting. And I took a class in bookkeeping or some accounting class, and I realized that just most definitely is not me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was non-engaging. It was all about numbers and a piece of paper.
Accounting is a lot about numbers.
Yeah. Nothing but the numbers. And
right.
so now I said, no, this is not me. So I completed the course, but discovered this was not me. Moving more into the health field, looking, actually before that, to be honest with you, I thought computer science was gonna be my major, IT. Mm. And
that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I say that now, mm-hmm. knowing you and recognizing your level of struggle, me imagining you as a budding computer scientist, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around that. You might as well say you in the NBA. That you might as well say that you were going to try out for the Miami Heat, new franchise that just started in Miami around about that time.
That's about right.
Because you in that tech. But okay, no. But you had to figure that out.
I had to figure it out. Nothing more to figure out than taking a class in it, having to write a program and spending weeks trying to find out what the issue was. So right. Yeah, no, that's not me.
Okay.
Then I decided that, oh, I'm a nurse, you know.
So break it down, like, give me a time frame of like how long, like, all of these changes and ideas, over what span of time are we talking?
Actually, just a year.
All in the first year?
Yeah, okay. All in that first year. So nursing was sort of much easier for me to realize that that's not me. The responsibilities, the intensification of being a nurse wasn't me at all. So I quickly changed.
So you
from
knew, you know, see, with nurses though, you know nurses.
Yeah, I knew nurses.
People know nurses. Not mm-hmm. you might not have a a, you may or may not have an accountant in your life, in, mm-hmm. in your personal network, depending on what your situation is. You may not know personally a computer scientist, but you know nurses. Mm-hmm. So you can pretty much talk to them. But here's the thing. A lot of times when people are in a field, they have a bias towards getting you to do it. So they'll paint it because they want other people to do like what they do. They want people to go through what they went through. They, you know, so, oh, being a nurse is awesome. Oh, it's awesome. I love it. That's when they're trying to like get you to do it. Every other day, they're complaining about how much it sucks.
Yes.
So, you know, you could probably get a real quick read on whether or not you wanted to do it.
I did. It didn't take
What was the fluids?
Actually, not the fluids, just the lifestyle. Back okay. then, I was about lifestyle as well. So the lifestyle of a nurse is just too encompassing. It is, the environment is always can be intense. It's an intense environment. No matter what setting you're in, it's an intense workload and environment. So because of I have a silly streak, I like to laugh and joke a lot. That wouldn't fit into that culture.
Yeah. I guess I think I found that a lot of people, medical professionals especially, have really dark senses of humor to deal with all the stuff they see. They say stuff that's, it's funny if you got a dark sense of humor. If you don't, it sounds kind of mean.
Yes. Yes, correct. Exactly.
I personally find it fascinating. So nursing, no.
No.
And then what was next? What did you think?
Physical therapist.
Okay, that seemed like the right lifestyle.
Oh yes.
So did you have a picture of like the type of people that you wanted to work with? Like, were you like, I'm gonna be a physical therapist for the Miami Heat?
No.
work with athletes, or I wanna. Did you have like a scenario in mind, or you just generally wanted to
be
help people?
Yes.
Take up their bed and walk again.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Right.
Yeah,
get back on their feet. Literally.
Get back on their feet, literally, and that's what I connected to. Watching a person transition from one point of their life that is kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily grim, but where they don't want to be. I don't want to be here. I have to get over there, and so that excited me. You know, I said, okay, that's what I am.
Okay, so when we come back, we're gonna learn about what happened next. Like, we found something that Karen's excited about. It's like, yes.
No,
until
yeah,
right. When we come back, we'll. Okay, so physical therapy was the jam. After going through accounting and computer science for some reason, nursing, he was like, PT is it. So what happened with that?
So once I discovered I was going to be a physical therapist, in my mind, without any doubt, I spoke it. So I spoke it clearly. Told mom and dad what I was going to do.
Well, let me ask you, had you gotten to that point with in any other things? Had like the week before you like, mom, dad, I'm going to be an accountant.
No.
Or mom, dad, I'm going to be a computer scientist. And you never got to that
Those
point.
Those conversations never took place.
All right. So this one you were like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm about this.
I'm about this.
I'm about it. So you were running around. Telling people, and then what happened?
So my friend, my classmate, who we just generated our relationship, our friendship, just naturally, just we got to a place so naturally. I don't even know how we got there, but somehow we became close, and we were the only two kind of hanging out together. And so she and I would have different types of conversations about life and about our world. And when I told her how excited I was that I'm going to be a physical therapist, she tells me, "You're not a physical therapist."
Okay, hold on, hold on. So she said it catty like that?
Oh, yeah.
Say something about who this person was that who could come at you like that and not catch them hands.
She was someone I respected.
So describe her as best you can remember.
Yes. So she's a young lady that was from India, strictly who came there for her education, but wasn't sure how long she was going to be at the campus with me because she was going to be coupled in an arranged marriage. And she was, although sometimes she seemed...
So you mean arranged by somebody else?
By her parents.
Because all marriages are arranged, but... It depends on who did the arrangement.
Right, right.
So I think be specific, a marriage that was arranged by somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally by someone else. She really had nothing to do. Actually, the only say she had in it was if she going to agree to it or not. Okay, and so.
Well, that's all to say.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but she doesn't get the pick.
Oh, okay. So it was just, yeah, no.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Let me think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Would I want, so if she said no, would they just try to find somebody else?
I asked her, you know, I said, okay, so are you okay with this? She says, well, I'm not against it.
Okay, so I'm just curious, like, if they say no, there's like, okay, sorry, guy. Like, do you got to, is it like coming to America where it was, they pick somebody?
Here's your
queen to be. And that's it? Or is there like a backup? Like, oh, this ain't working out. Do you like go? I'm curious because if there's a backup, if you just have yeah or no,
mm-hmm.
if you say no, they're going to bring somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad deal because you ain't got to worry about sorting through it.
I don't know
if
it would
say no, yeah. Not that one.
You would think not, but this was an intense vetting process.
Right.
So it's not, I mean, she could say no. But it's just not that simple of a response to a process. So a process that is pretty intense.
Right. So now mm-hmm. we got to go and find another person. It's mm-hmm. going to take some years and then you're going to be, that window's going to close.
Possibly.
Right. Well, they should have been already looking. They should have had a list together. If you arrange your marriage, you need to, it would seem that you'd have, some kind of top five. You know what I mean? Like, okay, if this one doesn't work out, we got this one.
Just like a job opening.
Right.
You know, hey, it's one position. You want to apply for it. You either want it or you don't.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the whole concept of marriage, it holds a different role. And marriage plays a different role across history. Yeah. And in different places, the whole concept of what a marriage is designed to do is different. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to like judge somebody else's culture based on my concept of the Western idea of marriage. Marriages are, in some historically have been political, economic, survival,
religious.
Instruments, religious, mm-hmm. and they're like, all right, so we basically bring in these two families together. Yeah. And that way it's a political move. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if we unite these two families together, we have these shared interests.
Yes.
And we can generate wealth among each other mm-hmm. with this mutual bond of trust.
Mm-hmm. But with her being from India, it had a lot to do there. The way she described her culture had to do about a lot of who she was, who her family was, and who they felt would complement her.
Right. Well, then there's this really strict hierarchy there.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. like, you know, and it sets up a, so love is secondary or irrelevant to the conversation of the partnership because it's not even somebody that you know.
Mm-hmm. in many ways it's not, because she goes to meet this person and she gets to spend some time to determine if she wants, is there a connection for her? Is that someone she could see herself being with? So the way she used to describe it, it was more of a spiritual connection. How did she connect to this person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I think that, again, there's a whole lot of weight already. It's not a spontaneous thing. So you're going in with a bias towards, you're going in knowing how big of a deal it is can add a different dynamic to the way that you see the person. Because it's like you've already pre-enrolled through through your engagement with the culture. You've already kind of, he's been pre-approved. So I think that the tendency is to be more generous with the way that you receive someone because of all of the investment that's already been made by other mm-hmm. people that you're connected to. Mm-hmm. It's not like meeting a stranger. They mm-hmm. don't have any... they don't have any credit. Mm-hmm. They don't have any, and you don't have any previous investment in them that will bias you towards accepting them. Mm-hmm. You're just in the moment experiencing whatever state they happen to be in that moment mm-hmm. and making a judgment.
It's sort of, I guess, we can look at this in a parallel, but on a lighter scale. We got the Match.com, we got the eHarmony as resources that we use in this country to connect you with people. And you still get to vet them at a different level. Whereas you have two or three persons who have invested in you and in learning you and growing with you to know who you are, at multiple levels. And be able to engage that vetting process a little bit more specifically?
Yeah, I mean, you come in from the assumption that your happiness is in their interest. That's an assumption.
Yes.
Because it might not be their primary interest, but mm-hmm. it can be. Mm-hmm. You would want to think that your child's happiness is your primary concern. But it's not always been that way. Sometimes there are other things that outweigh that.
Yes.
But in any case, whatever the reason, whatever the motivation is behind it, you don't come with a person with an unfiltered experience of them that you can judge and lay a preference on that's not motivated either from allegiance or rebellion. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they already have all that stuff with them.
Yes.
So our myth around the mythology around like that instantaneous romantic connection, mm-hmm. that mythical mm-hmm. spot across the room thing, that it can be an experience that people have for various reasons that have nothing to do with how well they're going to connect as a couple.
Yes.
It's just, a mm-hmm. moment, an experience in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying all of that because you were talking to this person who has sort of this framework of making decisions around, at least for her own life, mm-hmm. she has this really extensive framework around which she's making this decision about who she's going to be spending her life with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what parts of her are engaged in that decision, but she's not necessarily wired the same way that a person from the West is sort of views it. It's a mm-hmm. different concept. But for her to come to you and say, you're not a physical therapist, how did that hit you?
First of all, I did my classical double snap of the neck, excuse me, and what do you mean I'm not a physical therapist? It was originally offensive to me.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. how are you going to tell me, did you start reading her?
I didn't.
It didn't go, what you know? I'm making a choice. I'm trying to live my life the way I want. You come at me just because you, like, can't pick your own husband don't mean I can't pick my own career.
Right.
How you gonna come at me like, did you think that?
No, I didn't
you
actually.
You didn't go there?
No, I didn't go there.
That's the first place I would have went. I was like, bye. What do you, and you were already, and you were involved in a relationship. You mm-hmm. had a romantic relationship mm-hmm. that, well, I mean, and I guess there's a fair level of romance in the fact that you made this trip and made this big choice to come and be with him. So that was sort of an expression of kind of a romantic love mm-hmm. that wasn't necessarily a concept that she experienced in that type of connection.
Correct, yes.
Was that ever a conversation? Was like your relationship a part of the things that y'all talked about, and kind of did she know a lot about the context of that, or was that a separate thing, not really?
Yeah, we talked very, not so detailedly mm-hmm. about our personal experiences, just more general. We have general conversations in between right. our classes and touch base on whatever was really on our minds.
So in hanging out, it wasn't really a gossipy type relationship.
No,
it
not
was
at
more,
all.
More
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that comment, did that feel in, was that an unusual reaction from her? Was that sort of something that was out of the bounds of the way she normally spoke to you, or was it in bounds of the way y'all normally communicated?
No, I would have to say she had never up until that point interjected herself in my space that way.
Okay.
Not that aggressive, because to
right,
me that
right.
was aggressive. I'm like,
right,
excuse
right.
me?
Right.
It was pretty aggressive in my mind when I first heard it. And then, I mean, I'm telling you, I took a nap. Yes, a double take. And I said, wait a minute. And then I said, okay, you know what? What do you mean by that? I mean, really, because I could be objective. I want to be able to hear a different person's perspective and calculate it and be able to make sure that I am taking in all information when I'm making my decisions. So,
okay.
Yeah, she had earned a value in my space because we spend so much time together and we just had amazing conversations mm-hmm. and exchanging of experiences. So I value her as a person. And so her voice had value and could have a place. It just sort of circled around something that I became quite protective of at that point after making the choice that I was going to be a physical therapist.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you finally, after a year of exploration and not finding anything that fits, you finally come across what you feel to be your calling. And that's what you went to school for. You went to school to follow that dude, but also to find your calling.
Mm-hmm.
And you finally got there, and someone that you excitedly start speaking it and talking about it, and somebody who you form this connection with comes with the wet blanket. She took a class in wet blanketology. She just left that. That's what she had that earlier day. And what happened? What did you do next?
So after that,
how did she respond when you hit her with the double take? What was her response?
Mm-hmm. As I sort of expected, she just was this calm, natured person. Like I said, for her to speak out and interject her thoughts that strong into my environment, to my space, it was different. So when I came back at her the way I did, she just said, well, the reason why I see you're not a physical therapist is because of who you are. She opened it up. She had my ear when she said that because of who I am. And I said, what do you mean?
Oh, so you were going to find out who you were, and she was proclaiming to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And who did she say you were?
She said, I see you as someone who's more engaging than a physical therapist. You're an occupational therapist. I said, what? I don't know what an occupational therapist is. What is that?
Okay. And then she said, She broke it down for you, huh?
Yeah, brought up more of my characteristics that she saw in me and felt that if I was an occupational therapist, I would find more fulfillment than a physical therapist.
Okay. And, well, you don't know the counterfactual. You were never a physical therapist, so you can't make a direct connection. But do you feel like she was right?
Well, again, because she had value in my life as a person, I sought out to make sure whatever she was telling me, that me feeling like, no, I'm a physical therapist, that I had to do the homework to make sure.
So what do you think it was about her that allowed her to see you? Because if you were unseen and unknown to yourself, for another person to be able to see you in a way that feels authentic, that says something. So what do you think it was about her that allowed her to see you?
The days, well, I think was unique about her is that she connected to me. She engaged with me. She took my words, my thoughts, what we shared, and she learned me. I could say that today. Back then, I couldn't have said that.
Right.
I didn't know what she was saying.
Right.
My world started spinning.
Right, yeah. So she saw you in that way, and she sort of described that, and you needed to, like, look into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you conclude?
That I was an occupational therapist.
Right.
Yes. Well, I'm an occupational therapist professionally, and what I do is change lives through rehabilitation. So, what does that look like? That looks like someone who's had a disruption from a physical, mental standpoint. It enters maybe through the hospital and cannot perform their daily tasks of living. So they've had a disruption, and so they need some compensatory ways of how to adjust to get back into their daily life or create new pathways or resources in order to engage with their daily living and daily life, or restore what they're doing by allowing the healing process and the engagement of either strengthening neurologically, regaining pathways in order to perform motor action, or even from a mental standpoint, be able to concentrate or recall or use memory to be able to just do a basic daily activity, such as getting ready for bed or putting on their clothes or managing their household activities or getting back to work.
Okay, so we understand sort of like the clinical aspect of the work. And this project, the Wellness Connection, is informed by that, but it's something different. So I want you to say a little bit about what motivated you to go the direction that you're going with the Wellness Connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, working as an occupational therapist over a number of years, what I was experiencing is that I would see my patients. We would develop this amazing plan to get them back into living that life they want to live on a daily basis, and find them back 3 months later. And that used to frustrate me. Why isn't the plans that we develop, the training we teach, the skills we encourage, why aren't they transitioning beyond 3 months or 6 months? And so I started doing more reading and research, and discovered that habits, lifestyle changes require more time. And so that brought me into looking at coaching and how, as a therapist and a coach, how I can actually have a greater impact in the community, so that we can see transition and also it affect others in this, in the community.
Okay. So you were dealing with the therapy clients that were coming through, where a lot of them were dealing with sort of emergencies of some sort.
Yes.
That is a good way to describe it. Mm-hmm. How is that audience, how does that audience differ from who the Wellness Connection is sort of aimed towards?
In reality, does it differ? Only maybe the level impact that is obvious at the hospital level. Because usually people come to the hospital because, oh my God, I can't walk. Or, oh my goodness, I can't get out of my bed. Something's happened. It's call 911, get me to the hospital. Whereas in the community, you may not be getting out of the bed, but it's not as looked at as debilitating, because you said, oh, I can go to the bathroom though, but I want to get back in bed. Or you may say, hey, I cannot function at work. I'm just going through so much confusion. I am not being successful at what I'm doing. My diet, I keep wanting to change it, but you know, I keep gaining more weight. I don't know what the problem is. So it may not seem like a fire today, but tomorrow eventually can become a fire where you end up in the hospital on those same practical causes.
Right. So it's like prevention or early intervention.
Yes.
Like before it gets too bad. So how does the process, if you can envision an ideal experience for someone that comes through the mm-hmm. process that you are kind of creating through the Wellness Connection as sort of a community or movement, how would you describe sort of what the process you would ideally want to take a person through?
First, I would like to engage them in awareness. Okay. Without being aware that there's even a problem, because I like how you asked me, what's the difference between the person in the community and the person at the hospital? It's just to the level of tragedy and how they climb to get there. The person in the community, my journey with them is to be able to make them aware, encourage awareness, and provide resources and tools in how to engage them to support them to transition from.
Okay, so let's be a little more specific.
Okay.
So the first thing that a person would do coming through this process, what would be the first step they would take?
Well, I would ask them to take a wellness assessment.
What is that designed to do? Can you talk a little bit about what that tool is for?
Yeah, that tool is designed to look at all areas of your life. We are made up as a system, and it's not one aspect that influences our wellness and health. So a lot of times we talk a lot about being physically active. Yes, that is vital, but it's not the only dimension in your life that brings wellness and health to your life. So we got areas of mental. How are you feeling emotionally? That's another area that the wellness assessment will look at, along with nutrition, also with nutrition, also looking at their purpose of life, where they want, you know, what, how do they feel about themselves, their self-care. So the wellness tool looks at dimensions, all dimensions that complete wholeness. That's why it's a holistic approach towards wellness and health, because you're looking at the person as a whole person, not as a compartmentalized, just physical and nutrition.
Step one, you go in, you do the wellness assessment, you see where you are. Mm-hmm. Once you kind of get a picture of where you stand, what would be the next thing that they would do? The ideal kind of flow.
Very good.
What would that look like?
Yeah, so then you can visit the Wellness Connection. The Wellness Connection is a platform that provides resources and tools. You can also connect with myself and coaching sessions in order to help you guide you co-create your ultimate wellness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take the assessment, then go to the Wellness Connection, look at the tools and different programs that are available there to help you shore up the areas where you need support, and you also offer coaching and bringing your many years of experience to the table. So where would you say the podcast fits into that puzzle?
The podcast is a platform in order to bring quality living to everyday life by hearing different interviewees come along and talk about their wellness journey and how you can engage and also participate and also be creative in creating your own personal wellness journey.
Because there'll be articles and videos and other stuff that you can find at the Wellness Connection. This podcast is just like a part of it. So you definitely want to go and experience more. The first step, though, is taking that first wellness assessment, seeing where you are and really thinking about, okay, this is where I am. What do I want to do about it? When are you willing to make a commitment to making some new choices? Or no, sometimes you just know, and then it takes time for you to kind of build up to want to take a next step. But don't let the fact that you might feel afraid to take the next step prevent you from at least finding out where you are. First step is just know where you, just get a picture of kind of where you are and what you might want to do. And then, you know, just keep checking back in and hearing more stories and hearing how different people tackle what might be some of the same issues that you experience, right? Or be inspired by people who come from a completely different perspective and realize there's a lot of different paths that people are taking. Say a little bit more about your perspective on what the media, because it's the podcast, but there's other media, the writing and the videos and stuff, like what that's designed to do.
Yes. So, yeah, we're going to have articles. We're going to have
y'all like to read. So here's a fun fact, and I don't know if I told you this, but all the articles are also going to, most of the articles that appear on the website will also appear in the podcast feed, because there'll be audio because y'all don't like to read. Y'all listen to podcasts. Some of y'all don't like to read a lot. But so I might have to introduce some of those articles as audio essays to y'all, for y'all to listen to. Then when y'all get home, you go and start doing the research or whatever you dig. Because I know y'all don't be reading. Y'all just be walking around listening to audio books and podcasts. So we're going to try to give it to you how you want it. Because you listen to, you don't have to hold your laughing. I'm bombing over. Like, if you laughing, I need for you to laugh. Okay. Don't hold it in, because now I sound silly if you're not laughing. I'm going to have to put some laugh in.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess you didn't think, you didn't know I was trying to be funny. So yeah. You were. Right. Wow. I was trying to be funny.
It was funny.
Okay. So that's what you do when you something okay. funny, you laugh.
Okay. I was laughing.
Yeah. You were holding it back. Like, I need that laugh track behind me so they know they can laugh too.
Okay.
And that I'm not chastising them for their illiteracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you can't read, it's just that you won't. Some of you. So yes. For those of you who won't, the articles will also be in the podcast feed as featured episodes. We'll let you know when it's that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what What's really going to be engaging is that live chat. That live chat will give you a platform to discuss topics that are going to be featured on a weekly basis, to engage with other people throughout the whole country on some of the wellness interests, suggestions, resources. It's going to be filled with a lot of loads of resources and support. So yes, that's the excitement I believe that's going to be geared for the community in order to strengthen the movement in the direction of lifestyle change, health and wellness.
Yeah, you got a front row seat. You get a chance to get in early. Like, this is a brand new movement. I'm still under, like, we're building it from the ground up. Like, this is pre-launch. You're hearing this pre-launch, so you can be among the first people to go through this unique process and experience. Just because you listen to this podcast, you get to have a chance to be one of the first people who have a chance to get access to all of these resources that that Karen is bringing her years of experience towards curating and putting together. So, you know,
it's a journey.
It's a journey. So you can take that first step, take the first step, and then the rest of it, you know, the one step that you, the easy first step is to come back here every week and listen to the Wellness Connection podcast on your favorite podcast network, rate and review it so other people can find it. And then the next thing is go ahead and see where you stand, see where you at. And then you have an opportunity to join our unique excursions that we create for people who are a part of the movement. It's a movement, people.